All right, cool. So, all right, so before we start, let's not so much play a little game, but have a little bit of a quiz. I feel like the team were at this talk last time I gave it. Maybe? North? No? Okay, cool. Cool. Good. Okay, so... I'm going to say just a sentence, and you have to tell me whether or not you think this is a work of the Lord or not a work of the Lord. Okay, so we'll start off with something simple. Okay, offering a man who hasn't had anything to eat for days some bread. Is this the work of the Lord? Yeah? Okay, not the word of the Lord, the work of the Lord. Okay, all right, so... All right, so yeah, we think it's the work of the Lord. Okay, cool. All right, so let's go on to something that's a little bit more extreme, okay? Let's talk about, what about the death of a man who is trying to protect something holy, maybe like a holy relic or something? Is that the work of the Lord? So someone's trying to protect a holy relic and they die because of it. Is this the work of the Lord, or is this the work, and not necessarily the work of the Lord? What do we reckon?
Sorry, yep.
The Lord's work that he's dead. Oh yeah, probably not. Cool. All right. So. All right, let's go. A father trying to kill his child for the sake of religion. God kind of stole my talk. What do we reckon? Awkward, okay. We'll move on, okay. Then let's go. The death of uncounted children as a result of one man's hardness of heart. Work of God or not? Okay, cool. Fifth one, the revealing to a couple the nature of what is good and what is evil. All right, so here's the trick. All of these are from the Bible, and most of them are not what you think. So the first one, offering a man who hasn't had anything to eat for days some bread, is Jesus in the desert being tempted by Satan. The next one, a man trying to protect a holy relic and dies. That's, I don't actually know how to pronounce his name properly, Uzzah, who died trying to protect the Ark of the Covenant, and because he was not prepared... wasn't the right person to be protecting the Ark of the Covenant, was struck down because of it. We have number three, which was the father trying to kill his child. Well, that's Abraham. God stole my thunder on that one. Number four was the death of uncounted children as a result of one man's hardness of heart. We've got God wiping out the Egyptians in the Exodus story. And then finally, we've got the revealing of the nature of good and evil. Well, that was Satan in the garden. So my point of this is that you and I are really bad at telling what is God's work and what is not God's work. And I'm just going to go out there and say this in advance. God stole a lot of my talk with the prophetic words, and it's really unfair. But anyway, we'll try and make do anyway. All right. So, for us, what's good and evil is very much tied in with our emotions. Well, our perception of good and evil is very much tied in with our emotions, how we feel about something. Oh, I'm feeling sick today. Well... That's a bad thing, that's an evil. Oh, but I'm missing a horrible day at work. Well, that's kind of good. Okay, suddenly something changes from being an evil to a good just because of how we feel about the situation. God, on the other hand, sees things from outside our perspective. He sees the big picture. This is something that's really important to understand, that when we're talking about trust and trusting the Lord, because some people like to think that God will, and this is true, I'm not suggesting it's not true, but that God will protect them, they'll strengthen them to overcome trials against evil and good, and that's what it means to trust the Lord. Yes, it does, but it's only the start. It's only the tip of the iceberg. Just because you and I perceive something as bad doesn't mean that that's necessarily the case. There's all sorts of people out there. Sometimes there's the tendency to jump on the Satan did it bandwagon, where something starts to look a little not good, not fun for us, and we might automatically turn around and say, oh, this must be Satan's doing because I don't want this happening to me. But the issue with that attitude is twofold. Is one, it assumes that God and our understanding of what is good and evil are the same, and they are not. And two, it lacks the trust that God has all things in his hands, even when there's hardship and problems kind of going on. God, when he's working in our lives, he works holistically. He asks us to trust him, and you know, sometimes God doesn't just allow difficulties to occur in our lives, sometimes he makes life difficult for us. That's because he understands the big picture. And there's three main reasons why he's going to instigate some sort of difficulties in our life, and realistically, and they're to test, to direct, and to correct. So when it comes to testing's an interesting one, because it's important to understand that whenever God tests us, it is not about God testing us so that he knows that we are worthy. God knows how we're going to react in every single situation. So when God tests us, it's about building trust. Not trust in us, but trust in him. So when we think of Abraham at the mountain, and we think of that sacrifice of Isaac, that's not God... Wrong order. That's not God acting in a way to test to see whether or not he can trust Abraham. He knows whether or not he can trust Abraham. What he's doing is he's letting Abraham know that if you put your trust in me, I'm going to do what is best for you in the long run. God is worthy of our trust. And that's what he's telling us every time that he tests us. It's to tell us that we can trust him. The second reason that he might stick a trouble in our life might be to direct us. So let's say that, there's a saying that when God closes one door, he opens another door. But I also think that that works in reverse, that sometimes God slams doors before he opens other doors. And sometimes if there was another door, you wouldn't even know that that other door was there unless he closed the first door. I've experienced this personally in my life. Okay, When I first finished studying, I wanted to be a filmmaker. That's all I really wanted to be. I wanted to make movies. And fortunately, God slammed the doors in my face. So that led to a point in my life where I was pretty down. I just felt like my life was going nowhere. I felt like everything was just heading to a plateau of nothing. But it meant that I had to trust God. I remember going to Mass one day and just being like, Lord, you've got to do something because I can't deal with another year like last year. Like, I need to do something. And his response at that point was to do youth mission team, which I was like, whoa. But through his slamming doors in my face and leading me to a place where I just felt like my life was being a giant ball of nothing, it led me to the point where I had to change. I had to move in a new direction. I started doing Life in the Spirit again. I joined community. I ended up getting into ministry, and all these awesome things started happening. And basically, my life today is awesome because God slammed a whole pile of doors in my face. And so sometimes at the time, it didn't feel like that was what was going on. It just felt like I was having doors slammed in my face. But the fact is, if we trust the Lord now, we can understand that everything he's doing is to direct us. And along these sort of lines, there's kind of the John 12:24, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it does die, it will bear much fruit. So, gardening analogy. All right, banksias. Does anyone know much about banksias? Okay, so banksia seeds need fire to germinate. Okay, they can keep their seeds tucked away in their woody, fruity thing for years. During a fire, basically that opens, the seeds go everywhere, and we end up with new trees growing. But it's not just a case of they need fire to send their seeds everywhere. When the fire comes through, it clears the land. It prepares the seeds, prepares the land so that the seeds can grow without competition. Now, if you were to ask the banksia, do you think this is a good fire, as the mother tree is burning alive and dying, the chances are the tree is going to turn around and say, no, this is not something that's very good. But realistically, if we actually look at kind of what's really going on, okay, it's actually the only way that this plant can grow is through hardship. My kids have this book called Basil and the Secateurs, and it's about a grapevine. Actually, it's not about a grapevine called Basil. It's about a branch on a grapevine called Basil. And Basil has a lovely, luscious leaf. He's got terrific, trendy tendrils and giant, juicy grapes. But then the dark shadow falls, and there stands the gardener, and in the gardener's hands are the secateurs. And slowly throughout the book, Basil freaks out as his appendages are chopped off one by one. Anyway, the end, Basil is depressed, but he gets cheered up by the vine, and the vine turns around and says, hey Basil, the gardener prunes you so that next year you can grow even better. You can produce more fruit. Okay, what you're going through now is actually going to lead to better things later on. And pretty much if you go and read the Catholic mystics, they all pretty much say the exact same thing, except without using the terms basil and grapevine and secateurs. Basically, they say that God prunes us so that we can bear more fruit. And let's face it, God gives us a lot of gifts. okay? But when we love the gifts a little bit too much, and they begin to distract us from the purpose of the gift itself, which is to draw us to the Creator, not the created, okay? God sometimes decides that the best action is to remove that gift from us, whether or not that be a financial situation, whether or not that be security, it could be a job, it could be many different things, okay? But sometimes the Lord takes those things away from us so that we can learn that we need to trust Him fully, and that we've started to kind of trust something else instead. The third thing that I want to talk about is correcting. Okay, so the Lord sometimes gives us hardship to try and correct things going on. I was listening to one of those Lighthouse CDs, I cannot remember which one, but it was talking about the nature of sin, and that one of the worst effects of sin is being caught in sin. And the presenter was talking about that when a lot of criminals get caught, they're actually happy that they get caught because it breaks the cycle that they're currently caught in. And I think a lot of the time Satan works in the dark. The most merciful thing that can sometimes happen is if God takes what's in the dark and brings it into the light, where it can be addressed. And that's often never a pleasant experience. But it actually allows us to kind of address what's going on. Okay. Instinct is that if we're doing something wrong to try and hide it, and that just makes it kind of compound on itself, we don't actually get to necessarily feel the shame because we're hiding it, and we kind of just go, this is status quo. But when everything's drawn out, okay, the Lord's able to work with things because the Lord works in the light. And if we try and keep everything in the darkness, then the Lord is going to probably bring it out to the light, whether or not we like it or not. And it's not going to be pleasant when it does. And throughout church history, the church herself has tried to apply similar sorts of things, where issues have come up and they've tried to hide their inadequacies. In the Middle Ages, tried to hide it so much that when people basically saw the injustice in the church, they were driven to the point where they wanted to split from the church. Obviously, within fairly recent times, we've experienced very similar situations where the church has tried to deal with things by just kind of covering it and hoping that it just disappears. Unfortunately, like a wound, anything that kind of is covered and not dealt with just seems to fester and get infected and goes gross and need to be dealt with eventually. So that's what the Lord does, and the Lord will rip off band-aids. He will pour in antiseptic fluid to try and fix the problems, and He will also, if you've got a broken bone and you haven't fixed it properly, well, the Lord's going to re-break that bone, trying to get it into place again, because the Lord's like a doctor, and it's not always fun. Okay, so in Hosea 6:1, it says, "Come, let us return to the Lord, for the Lord has torn us, that He may heal us." So, like a race through this faster than I was meant to, but anyway, last year, just a bit of a sharing, not really much of a sharing, but so last year I had this experience where I almost lost one of my jobs, and it didn't look like we were going to have any clients that were doing the course that I teach, which I'm the primary teacher for, trainer for, and it looked like everything was going funky. But to me, when this started happening, my first initial thought wasn't, oh dear. But rather, it's okay. The Lord's actually got everything in control. And even when things are going weird, everything's going to be fine in the end. And in this situation, everything did go fine. The workplace that I was working for employed me, regardless to the fact that there were no students, and funny situation, we ended up with a student that we forgot to deal with, and so I actually had a job in the end anyway. But they decided to keep me on board anyway, and their trust was rewarded as well. But I'm actually finding myself in the exact same position again. Well, not quite the same position, but a similar position. Okay, this time I know for sure my job is wrapping up, and that's it. The job's going to wrap up. But once again, it's not fear inside me. I'm excited. I'm excited that the Lord is going to take me into a new direction. I'm excited that there's been a bit of a detour in my plan, and I've been sent down a road that I wasn't planning on going down. And it's exciting. It shouldn't be exciting. I've got 3.5 kids at home, and so a mortgage to pay, all these sort of things. It should be scary, but it's not. It's just really about having that trust that no matter what happens, the Lord's really got everything under control, and everything that happens is the Lord's will. It might not necessarily look overly great, but at the time, but in time to come, when you look back, you'll go, wow, that really was the Lord's work. Has anyone read, this is not on the piece of paper at all. Has anyone read, C.S. Lewis, The Great Divide? Divorce, that's it. So The Great Divorce is basically about heaven and hell, pretty much. So as this man's being taken on a tour of heaven, it talks about he gets to heaven and is talking to someone, and the person goes, well, I've always been in heaven. Like, even when I was on earth, like, what was going on was preparing me for this. Like, being able to see the whole picture, being able to see where everything leads, you're able to actually kind of see that everything is awesome. Not going to burst in a song with a song from the Lego Movie, though. That's not awesome. I've got a situation where a family that's quite close to me is going through some hardship. And despite the fact that this family is going through some hardship, and I say a bit of hardship, quite a lot of hardship. It's interesting watching it unfold, because when this all started, the person who was, the couple that this is around, okay, the wife went to mass, but the husband wouldn't step foot in a church, only on Easter, the one time that he would go to mass with his wife. But as all this hardship started to happen around the family, and that sort of thing. He started coming to Mass every single week. And slowly, as I'm watching this unfold over a long period of time, I'm able to see that the Lord's working through something which, like, you would think in your mind that how could the Lord be working through this? But he is, and he's turning it to good. And it's just, you watch and you're like, I don't understand how. And other people that people have talked to about this situation, like, people turn around and go, oh, that's spiritual attack, that's Satan working there. But when I look at it, I go, no, that's not Satan working. This is something crazy going on. This is the Lord doing crazy stuff. This is the Lord changing lives in amazing ways. But he's using hardship to do it. I think that in the end, everything is pretty much in the Lord's hands. He is testing, he's teaching, he's directing, he's healing, using hardships. He breaks so that he can heal. The first time I did that talk, it took a lot longer. I don't know what happened that time.
Thank you, Cam, for blessing us in the South and for ministering to us. And just being who you are and bringing your personality into the content has made it, I don't know, just to, you know, you hear it in different ways, but to be able to hear it from your view, thank you. So let's give another round of applause. So if I could sum it up that, you know, not every bad thing is from the devil. Sometimes a bad thing might be just us needing to perceive it as God doing a difficult thing that we just don't understand for our good. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. So, you know, like, I think it's also up to us to discern if something is spiritual attack or is God trying to move in us in a different way. And we prayed for that as we're preparing for gathering. We said, Lord, move in a new way. And when he moves in a new way, it's not going to be a way that we've ever understood. So let's learn to sort of navigate with the Lord and say, hey, what are you doing? How can I move around this? So brothers and sisters, thanks for a wonderful time today. Let's have some fellowship in the cafe and let's hang out. What? Oh.
Matt, can you store the guys stack the chairs up?
Oh yeah, if you guys don't mind helping us to stack the chairs, thank you.
It's your signature.
These two can just stay here.
Yeah. fair.